Welcome to the Gospel Rain podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain conversation.
Welcome back to Gospel Rain podcast. I'm glad you're joining us again for another episode of Gospel-Centered Conversation. And it's good to be with you again, Matt, yep. Back in the studio. And I'm excited about this episode today, not the least of which is because even though we're doing an audio podcast, really the content of what we're going to be talking about is visual. Yeah. In orientation,
right? I didn't
right?
think about that.
So we need to, we'll find a way to put this through the website and certainly links and stuff to some of the visual content that we're going to be talking about today. But you actually kind of stumbled upon these videos and had a chance to reach out to our guest today. And would you introduce our guest and kind of set up, you know, what we're going to be discussing?
Yeah, let me do that. Our guest is Chris Powers. Chris and I had a chance to actually officially meet this morning over just a little bit of a video chat. And so it was good to see his face, get to know him just a little bit. But we've been emailing back and forth a little bit just over the last couple of weeks. How I found Chris was at a youth camp that I went to last year, and a video during one of the worship services was showed, which was incredible. I was just floored by the video.
Snowbird. Camp we're going to in 2 weeks.
Right. Snowbird camp out in North Carolina, and which is a great camp, by the way, real, real strong camp. Anyway, they showed this video, and I loved it, and I came back, I shared it with my church, and my family fell in love with it, and my church family. Anyway, it was really cool. So anyway, back about a few weeks ago, I was thinking about that. I was looking for another video, and I saw on the website, Chris's website, where he put a little blurb about himself and about what he does and how he does it and all that kind of stuff. So I thought, I want to talk to him and let him be a part of the podcast. So anyway, Chris is a guest of ours today by video, audio, and we're talking about visual stuff, so I don't know how this is going to all work. But anyway, welcome, man. Thanks for coming on the Gospel Rain podcast.
Thanks for having me on. This is great.
Well, let me ask you some questions. We're just going to start off because I want to find out a little bit more about who you are and tell all of our listeners about who you are and about what you do. Again, Micah gave us the name of the website. It's fulloficeyes.com. And in just a little bit, I'm going to ask you where that came from. But first, I want to ask you a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about you, where you are right now, where you live, a little bit about growing up, that kind of stuff, and then we'll get into why you do what you do now.
Yeah, so I grew up with both parents being Christian, and yet I the classic story of not really taking it seriously, knowing about Christ, knowing about Scripture, but just going along.
Right.
And which is an all too common story, of course.
Right.
But then it was in high school that I just started to kind of spiral into depression and discouragement and kind of a lot of just internal turmoils. And I remember my mom coming to me and giving me the Bible and saying, you need to read this. Hmm. And I was thinking at the time, why would I read the Bible? I know everything that's in there. I know all the stories. You know, I don't understand what that's supposed to help. Right. But I was desperate. And so I thought, okay, I'll just start reading. And it was largely the Psalms that the Lord used to get a hold of my heart, because in the Psalms I was seeing my words being put to the emotions that were going on inside of me. This was the Holy Spirit giving me language, teaching me to pray what I didn't even know I needed to pray. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, yes, David, I feel exactly the same.
Wow.
And so it was all of Scripture, but the Psalms specifically. And I realized, I came to this kind of crisis point towards the end of high school, either I need to lay hold of this word and just hang on to this for dear life, or I'm going to be shattered just on the rocks of my own mind, of my own affections, of the world. It's either hold fast to this or fall to pieces. Mm. And so it was that point that kind of made me realize Scripture is where life comes from. I need to feed on this word. Mm. in college that I think I kind of made the Lord showed me, you know how Jesus says in John 5:40, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it's they that bear witness about me.
Right.
And so the Lord was showing me more and more, yes, it's my word, but the beating heart of my word is my son, crucified, risen here in the midst of this. And so it was in college that I was me pressing into Jesus as the person who scripture revealed to me. And also a really important part of college was I was outside praying, and I realized, you know, as I was praying, I said, you know, Lord, I believe in you because I don't want to go to hell, not because you've captured my affections, not because you've enraptured my mind, but because I'm scared.
Right.
And I know that you are awesome and glorious and mighty and sovereign, but I don't have a treasuring of you or a cherishing of you. I don't love you. I wouldn't be able to say I love you.
Wow.
And in that moment, I felt, you know what I need to pray? All I can pray is make me love you. You know, I can't create it, because any kind of affection for the Lord I reach in and stir up,
that's right,
is just going to blow away the next time something happens.
Right.
And so saying, Lord, create in me a heart of love for you. And I didn't know anything at that point about, you know, God's sovereignty or his initiative in saving and in giving us the right affections. I just thought, well, he's God, so he must be able to do this. That was the crucial turning point in my life as well. And so then, it was after that I began to think I need to pursue ministry full time. I don't know what that'll look like, but whatever I do, it needs to be about knowing and enjoying this God and making him known and enjoyed. And so towards the end of college, I took on some Bible teaching classes, and that's where I learned about John Piper through a pastor of mine. And as with so many people of my age, that phrase, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him, just turned on the lights. And I was like, ah, that's it. That's exactly right. It's my joy wedded to the exaltation of his name, to the making known of his beauty. And if that's where my joy is invincible, because that's what's going to happen.
That's right.
That's what everything's accomplishing. So this was going on in my soul. And I graduated college, married my wife, and we went to Pittsburgh, and I did video production there for a while. And yet, as I was doing it, I was thinking, man, I want to minister to people in a more pastoral way. I'm behind the scenes making videos. I want to teach. I want to pastor somehow.
Right.
And so that's that, combined with a desire to know the original languages, is what eventually drove me to pursue seminary. But before I went to seminary, I should add this, since this discussion is about Full of Eyes. Before I went to seminary, in my role as video director in Pittsburgh, I started making these short little animated videos. And the first one was set to a song by Casting Crowns, which I've since taken down because I could only show it in church. I couldn't put it online.
I see.
Didn't talk to Casting Crowns. but after that, I started working on some animations for the church I was working for. But that's where really the thing that would eventually become Full of Eyes started its first seedlings. So anyway, then I went to seminary and thinking, okay, here in seminary, I'm going to leave behind my art and I'm going to pursue preaching.
Right.
What happened consistently was that people in the local church and in the global church continued to say to me, hey, it's your art and your animation that helps us see Jesus.
Wow.
This work you're doing artistically is serving us. And I really believe that whatever you do within, you know, how do you find out what you're supposed to do? Be in the local church, in love with Jesus Christ, and whatever you do that points others to him, do more of it.
Wow, that's good.
And so I was in the local church because this seminary was based in the local church. And people were saying, hey, this art is helping us. And so it was the witness of the church to say, this helps us see Jesus. The witness of my own soul that said, I love doing this artwork. And then the witness of my wife saying, I love it when you do this artwork. I
wow.
support you in it. Those three things together kind of conspired to cause me in 2014, the middle of 2014, to start Full of Eyes as a ministry.
Wow.
And basically what that would entail, what it has entailed, is making animations, basically using the skills I got in seminary to create animations and pictures and study guides that attempt to be visual exegesis, to visually proclaim what we're taught in Scripture. And I should add this, the kind of capstone moment, the central thing that happened to me at seminary that has informed Full of Eyes from beginning to end was the concept to see something true of Jesus is to see something true of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just realizing that Jesus Christ is God with us. He is the one who definitively reveals God to us. If we want to know who God is, and knowing God is eternal life, Jesus says in John 17:3, if we want to know God, we look at Christ. And beyond any human wisdom, beyond any expectation, as we look at Christ in whom we see God, we see him stripped and beaten and crucified on a cross as the climax of his revelatory redemption.
Right.
At the very height of his work, he says, here I am on Calvary.
Mm.
And if we want to know God, we look at this crucified Christ in light of his resurrection. And all the infinity of implications that pour out of that concept have just arrested my mind. And Full of Eyes is an attempt to simply say, Jesus Christ crucified and risen. Just to say that over and over and over again, because it's there that we know God. So that's kind of the process that's brought me to Full of Eyes and the passion behind it. And currently I am living in a small town in Ohio called Sabina, about 40 minutes north of Cincinnati. And I am also pastoring, preaching each weekend at a little church of about 25 people, which has been a real joy to both me and my wife.
Hmm. That's awesome and fantastic story. Because the reason why I'm so intrigued by your story is that when I see those videos, what you've been saying theologically is absolutely what comes out of those videos. And now that I know that, now that I know that story, that's incredible, because that's exactly what, in the videos that I've seen at least, that's exactly what you're showing. And one of the things that you say, one of the things that's said on your website, I think that Michael was looking at just a second ago, it says, it just asks the question, what is Full of Eyes? And the very first statement is, many are still blind to the beauty of God in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's what seems to flow out of these videos. Now, I don't know, and I guess that's, you know, as you've said it, that's sort of your point. That's sort of what you're trying to do, is to draw people in to see the beauty of God in Christ, and it's shown so powerfully and beautifully in these videos, which is incredible. So tell me a little bit, Chris, about the, first of all, I wanted to ask this question while you, but I didn't want to interrupt you. The skill and the ability that you have for animating digitally is really incredible. How has that how was that a part of your early life? Because if you're talking, how old are you, Chris? I didn't ask you that.
Oh yeah, I am. I'm 31.
Okay, so how was that a part of your early life? Was that a part of your early life, or did this digital medium, were you already an artist as you were really young, and then when did this digital media sort of become a platform for you to begin to work with?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I have been drawing ever since I was able to. I mean, you know, it's always just been drawing for fun, basically drawing to get what's in your brain out on the paper just for the joy of seeing.
Right.
You know, I never took any kind of, you know, official art classes or anything like that. So drawing's always been a part of my life, but just something that I do. It used to largely be on the edges of class notes and things like that. And I've always done video as well. I mean, as soon as my parents got one of those giant video VHS cameras that looks like a bazooka on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And I was making videos with that when I was like 4 and 5 years old. So I've always enjoyed drawing and, you know, video. And then I went to college for video production, which there wasn't a lot of, basically what I've learned digitally is just learning it because I said, man, I'd love to see this happen. Let me just blunder my way through try to figure out how to do it. So we didn't take classes for it specifically in college. So yeah, largely it's something I've done because I enjoy communicating in that way. I don't think of myself primarily as an artist. It's just art seems to be the medium I can best communicate Christ at this, so I'm giving myself to it. If it ever becomes not the medium that is best for communicating Christ, I'll drop it and mm-hmm. pursue a different medium.
Wow, that's
cool. So yeah,
that's interesting. I'm just intrigued by that. I wanted to ask you that. You got a
question? Yeah, Chris, how did you land on the phrase "full of eyes"? I'm intrigued by that. I think, you know, there's a lot of I know you're talking about the visual stuff, seeing Christ and that, but how did you land on "full of eyes"?
Yeah, well, I mean, you probably recognize the term from Revelation 4. Mm-hmm. Revelation 4, really 6-8, where it says, I'll read it for you here. Talking about the throne room of God, it says, around the throne and on each side of the throne are four living creatures full of eyes mm-hmm. in front and behind. And it goes on to explain them.
Hmm.
It says, each of them with six wings are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty hmm. who was and is to come. So that's where this term comes from. Now, why would I name the ministry Full of Eyes? And it's because basically in this passage, what you've got is these angelic beings that are covered in every conceivable way with organs of perception.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's necessarily sight, because sight in scripture is perceiving. You know, we see by faith.
That's right.
But there are these beings covered in organs of perception, supernatural, and every one of these thousands of eyes is centered, focused on the beauty of the living God.
Mm.
And all these creatures do is behold, is see his beauty, see it, drink it in, and then savor it internally, and then sing it out in this explosion of worship, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the reality is there that it's not, they don't say holy, holy, holy constantly because God has said, hey guys, keep doing this. Just don't ever stop doing that.
Right.
The reason they continually say it is because they are continually overwhelmed, continually struck again by the beauty of what they're seeing.
Hmm.
So they are staring into the inexhaustible glory of God. and seeing ever fresh beauty, ever fresh glory. And it is always continually overwhelming them and erupting out in praise to his name.
Wow.
And so you've got that see, savor, sing that's happening. And that is, I believe those creatures represent creation, of which humans are the crown. And our task, what it means to exist, what it means to live as a true human, is to see, to perceive the beauty of God in Christ, to savor it rightly internally, and then to sing it in art, in vocation, in preaching and teaching, in whatever we do. So that pattern of perceiving God's glory, treasuring God's glory, proclaiming God's glory in Christ is what life is about.
Yeah.
And I want Full of Eyes to be the ministry itself. I want it to be me doing that. Mm-hmm. My prayer is that as I create these works of art, they are the singing of my soul, which has savored and seen God's beauty in Christ. And I pray that they would help others to see, savor, and sing that beauty.
I see the fingerprint of John Piper on that.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And even more, the fingerprint of Jonathan Edwards.
Right.
Edwards that would say, God's glory is himself known and loved. That's what God's glory is.
Mm.
And so for us to glorify God is to know him and to love him and to speak him so that he's known and loved. And the key is we cannot know him so as to love him unless we know him in the crucified Christ.
That's right.
And that's the mind constantly.
Hmm.
That the whole universe exists to proclaim this crucified and risen one.
Wow.
Chris, I've been preaching through 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I just recently preached through chapter 4. I know you did as well, Matt.
I did.
Incidentally, and I love the emphases of Full of Eyes ministry being biblical and Christocentric. We get that, but you also have an evangelistic, you know, kind of emphasis to what you're doing. I was reminded of 2 Corinthians 4, where he says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers from seeing the light of the glory of the gospel in Christ,"
mm-hmm.
and God has shown his light in our hearts that we can see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And how, you know, that desire to do what you do, not just through the medium of preaching, but visual exegesis. I love that phraseology.
I do too.
In such a way that it communicates and stirs up the affections of not just believers, but unbelievers to see the glory of God in the face of Christ. I love that.
Right. Yeah, that's very central. I pray that everything I do is evangelistic in the sense that lifting up Christ is what, I mean, lifting up, as it says, proclaiming or making known the light of the beauty of God in the face of Christ.
Mm.
That's what Christians need. That's what unbelievers need.
Right.
What every single need that every human being has is met in the lifting up of the beauty of God in Christ.
Mm.
And so if I proclaim Christ crucified and risen, I am serving believers as best as I possibly can, and I'm serving unbelievers as best as I possibly can.
Mm, that's good. That's good.
And so that's what I'm hoping to do with each one of these pieces that I put together.
Well, I've got some questions to ask about some of these videos that you have put together, and some maybe some conceptual things and why sort of how you do or why you do what you do. But first of all, the video that struck me first, the one I saw and was intrigued by, and I would tell all of our listeners to go to the website, and by the way, go to YouTube, and we'll talk about this in a minute. You can find these videos out there, and they're free, and I'm going to ask Chris about that in just a minute. But the first one I saw that was played at that camp, youth camp, was called Close By Me, is the title of it. And I guess it just caught me at the right time, And when I watched it, man, my eyes were full of tears, and I got to watch that and come back and show it to my church family, and just a really powerful video. So go watch that one. But here's what I want to ask you about some of these. Usually with these videos, there's a song that's playing as the animation goes on. And I've been really intrigued by some of the songs that have been playing in these videos. Where do you find these? Where do you get these songs that really fit the animation to what you're trying to show and to say?
Yeah, well, I rarely go searching for songs. So basically, there's kind of two camps of animation. One that I do is scripture being read with instrumental music behind it.
Right.
And one is kind of more lyrical songs. So regarding those, the ones with, you know, the lyrics, usually it's just the Lord brings one along. Either I hear it randomly or somebody points it out to me, or, you know, we sing it in church, but I hardly ever say, well, I need to go find a song. The Lord will put it in front of me. And I choose those songs because I think that they're helpful of Christ that I want to express, you know, that the Lord's been showing me or teaching me or impressing upon me lately. So it's usually I have a concept that I want to be communicated, and then in the right time, the Lord brings along a song that acts as the perfect communicating medium for that.
That's pretty cool.
You know, just it's because animations, you know, it's like swinging from vine to vine, and you're swinging on one, and you wonder if there'll be another one to grab when you let go of the one that you're on. And so invariably, when I get halfway through one animation, the Lord will bring along either a song or a concept or a theme, and I'll know, okay, well, that's what I'll be doing next then.
Wow.
He's just been very faithful to do that.
That's cool. I'm not the artist at all, but I'm so enthralled by those who are, and I love to... I don't know. I have enjoyed watching the videos that you're able to put out, which are just incredible, and they are emotional. They're very powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And so, which is one of the parts I've really enjoyed. I seem to just track with what you're doing, and which is really cool. Have you got a question, Mike? Because I've got another.
No, I was just gonna say I'm like you. I'm not an artist. I love art. I love creativity. You know, I was one of the things when I taught theology for Southern Seminary that I, you know, usually you get in a seminary class and everybody's, you got to write a paper. But I gave an opportunity for students to choose, instead of writing a paper, a research paper, to do, create some work of art or something. And I've kept a few of those things, man, and it is unbelievable to see the kind of skill and wisdom and Christ-centeredness and biblical saturation that comes out through art. You know, it actually reminds me of, and you probably know this text, Chris, in Exodus chapter 31, that when God is given, you know, the assignment to create the tabernacle and all the stuff in the tabernacle, that he gives to Moses two guys, and he names them Bezalel and Oholiab. And these guys, the Bible says of them that they're filled with the Spirit and given wisdom to cut gemstones and to weave fabric together and to carve wood, and it's artistic stuff that they're doing for the house of God, for the tabernacle. And but it's couched in such a way that the works of our art is motivated and moved by the Spirit. And so to hear Chris kind of talk through, you know, sensing that the Lord is leading him to another, you know, kind of idea to put through art, I think is a biblical and a spiritual thing that our leaders need to understand, or our listeners need to understand.
That's pretty cool.
I just add to that the leading is, I mean, it's, I'm, my prayer is that Full of Eyes is coming, everything's anchored to Scripture. You know, I don't want to take on a project unless it's growing out of a conviction molded by Scripture. And so, yeah, that is part of the joy, is to express something in Scripture in a visual way that will send people back to the text with reinvigorated desire. So anyway,
that's cool. Let me ask you this. This is sort of where one of the things I've been wanting to get to, and I want to ask you, and you explained a little bit of this on the website, which is great, and then the video I saw of you sort of explaining some things. I want to ask you about this. The videos that you make are incredibly high quality. Mm-hmm. I mean, but for the rest of us, they're free. And you put it out there for us just on your website. You can find them on YouTube and use it within the church, and you don't pay for it. And I'm just telling you, as a pastor, when I found that out, that this was, I could actually show this in my church and I didn't have to pay for it, which I don't mind paying for. That's not the point. The point is that you put all this out there for the ministry of the church to be used. That's really incredible. My question is, why do you do that, and how are you able to accomplish that, Chris, if you don't mind answering?
Yeah. Well, why I do it is basically because my desire is just to create resources for the global church that will help to faithfully stir up her affections for Christ, that will communicate him and, you know, lift him up. And I figure, as far as I'm able, I want to break down as many barriers to the dissemination of those resources as I can. And so to make it free, and then when I collaborate with artists, when I use, you know, other music, I'm always, it's their gift as well, because they're giving me a license to,
right,
to use their music in a way that the church can then use for free. And so it's neat to see people willing to do that. And yeah, the desire is just to make it as available as possible. And then I think there was a second part to your question, but
yeah, just asking you sort of with these videos being such high quality, how are you able to do that? And I'm not trying to meddle in your life personally, but how are you able to accomplish that being such high quality?
Sure. There's a thing called Patreon, which is like a crowdfunding sort of social media site.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I have a page on Patreon where people will pledge to give a certain amount of money each month if I keep doing stuff, if I keep making content. And so I started this because, you know, I was in seminary and I hardly had any time to work on things. And I thought, man, if I could get, you know, paid to do this, then I could maybe stop doing my part-time job and just work on full time.
Right, right.
And the Lord allowed that pretty quickly to gain enough support that I could quit my part-time job and then eventually became full-time. And it's just through, whether it's through Patreon or PayPal or other ways. And for almost 4 years now, the Lord has sustained me and my wife just through the donations of other believers.
Wow.
And so that frees me up then to spend 40 hours a week working on, whether it's the animations or I do daily verse pictures also, and other pictures that I work on. But because of the generosity of our Father expressed in the generosity of his people, I've been able to just give my full-time efforts to it. So that's kind of cool. How it works.
That's awesome. Well, I was just curious about that, because I appreciate this. This is something new for me. I've not been able to take advantage of all of what you've done on Full of Eyes, so this is fairly new. But I'm really excited about the potential of being able to use what you do.
And I'm glad you asked him, because on the website there is a little tab, support Full of Eyes, and he talks about the Patreon link and also the Gaius Project. and PayPal, and, you know, that's awesome, you know, kind of crowdsourcing kind of thing to support, you know, this kind of high quality art for Christ. Hey, and just kind of triggered a thought, Chris, I'd like your thought on this. And one time I heard Stephen Curtis Chapman respond to the question, was he a Christian artist? And he said, no, I'm an artist who happens to be a Christian. And he defined it that way rather than limiting his music to Christian music, even though it is about Christ. It's more than that. But he kind of redefined it as, you know, I do art as a Christian. And I kind of wonder what your thoughts would be on that as well. I almost called this Christian art, but it's art produced by a Christian.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think I would agree with him on that. Basically, just like you can say all truth is God's truth, all beauty is God's beauty, all true beauty.
Right.
And there's a whole massive, you know, structure of what beauty is and what it means and all this sort of stuff. But to trim it down, I'd say only those who know the glory of God in the face of Christ know ultimately true beauty. Because that Christ crucified and risen is the definitive form, image, communication of beauty. And so as an artist, then, we are wanting to communicate him, to communicate beauty, to structure and show beauty, which now the most beautiful moment in all of reality is a crucifixion, which obliterates the idea that beauty needs to look, you know, Thomas Kincaidian.
Right.
So as a human being who has seen beauty at the cross, when I attempt to create art, it's going to trend there. You know, it's going to point in that direction, and that's not the way for every artist. I think that it's good just to be a Christian and create beautiful things,
right?
With the understanding that if I can help anybody perceive something truly beautiful and say that's beautiful, I've moved them in a good direction.
Right.
I've moved them toward the place they should be. If you read Lord of the Rings,
yes,
and you resonate with the beauty that's there, that's healthy. That's good. Tolkien's helping you along your journey.
Right.
And so, you know, a much could be said. We want to be human beings fully alive to our Maker, and then seek to take beauty, to free beauty from the shackles that she's had on her and put her into service of her rightful Lord again. And so that's what I'd say to that.
And, you know, I think Peter Jackson did a pretty good job visually exegeting Tolkien.
He did. And because of that, you know what's interesting? Because of that, I think the Lord of the Rings trilogy resonates much more deeply than Jackson could have done on his own.
Well, Chris, man, it's been incredible just to get to know you and get to hear a little bit of your story. And I hope that as we share this on our podcast, and we'll share information, links, and all that kind of stuff on our website and then on social media too,
right.
I'm hoping that not only our church members will have will gain access to these kind of things and be encouraged and be edified by what you've done. But at the same time, our pastor friends and those who listen to us will be able to use your resources for their churches. We've just been, and Mike has just, as you've been talking, Mike has been flipping through a bunch of these videos. Oh, I'm curious, too, do you know the answer to this question? How many videos have you produced?
Oh, yeah. I think it's around 18 or maybe 20 at this time. Not all of them are on the website there for various reasons.
Right,
but I
understand.
Think it's something like 18. But there are almost 700 free resources there on the website.
Wow.
A lot of them are pictures. And there's a tab on the website that says search by scripture.
Yeah.
And the Bible. And you'll see all the resources that are tagged to that particular text. So, yeah, there's only about 18 videos, but there's almost 700 free resources there for people to access. Wow,
that's incredible.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of work, man. That's a lot of work. Chris, thank you, man, for all your work and how you provide those things for the church to be able to help us as leaders in the church to be able to have some resources at our fingertips to use. And I'm excited about getting started really using more of that and looking around at what you have. But let me I have to close the podcast. I've kept you probably too long. I know you have a lot to do, and you are a busy man, and we appreciate all that. Yeah. But let me close the podcast, and we're gonna close with a segment that we normally call One More Thing. Now, Chris, we're putting you on the spot because we always take the opportunity with the One More Thing to tell something. Could be something odd, something funny, something interesting, something whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's off topic or on topic. It doesn't matter. So, but we're putting you on the spot today to tell us one more thing that might be interesting or funny or something for us and for our listeners. So, Chris, what's your one more thing?
Yeah, well, gee, one more thing, huh? I guess I'd say... you asked about, you know, video, how long I've been doing it. Back when I was young, my two little brothers and I started doing a TV show, a home TV show about secret agents and things like that.
Yeah.
And it developed to include all sorts of supernatural events. And we have continued this show with its storyline, with its developing characters. And I'm currently... working on editing our most recent episode, and we have plans to continue. And so it's just neat to see that's been something that's been binding my brothers and I together for the last 20 years. So, and I guess I'd say, wherever you see that imagination and creativity being able to express itself, if it's not harmful, that's a good thing to cultivate, because you never know how the Lord will use that in a child's heart and mind, because imagination is crucial, and we do not live in a culture that cultivates it. It kind of crafts it and crushes it.
Good point.
And so if you can cultivate a child's imagination, imagination is the organ by which we perceive meaning. And so that's something we want to have. I would just throw that out there.
Well, that's interesting. Let me ask you this, though, about this video series that you're doing. Is this just between you and your brother, or is this public?
It's just between us.
Really? No way.
Yeah, we always talk about the audience and we're, the fans, and we got to make sure that's clear for the fans. But the fans are us and our wives.
That's awesome. Hilarious.
Yeah,
and eventually, we figure maybe it'll get to a point where our kids can't watch TV, but they'll at least be able to watch all the back episodes that we've created.
That's hilarious, man. That's awesome. That is a fantastic way of doing that. That's cool. All right, Chris, it's been great to get to know you a little bit more. I'm thankful that you've been on a podcast with us today. I tell all of our listeners, encourage you, our listeners, go to fulloveyes.com, and you can check out the videos there. A lot of the videos, I guess, at least a lot of them I've seen, are available on YouTube. You can find them that way. I guess you're also on social media. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah. The other big place that I kind of put content out for people is the Facebook page. So just facebook.com/fulloveyes.
Okay, great. Well, I would encourage our listeners to get a hold of your stuff, try to find it, and look it up, and maybe even give you a shout out, and let people just ask people to let other folks know that they're watching, listening, and paying attention to what you're doing. And we really pray for your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God to do some incredible things through the ministry that He's given you to draw people to look on the face of Christ, mm-hmm. and to behold His beauty and wonder and His holiness. It's an incredible ministry. Chris, thank you much for what you do. And so we just ask our listeners to check it out on social media and everywhere else on the internet. So anyway, I'm going to close the podcast. We'll get back with you next time. We'll see you on the Gospel Rain podcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.